Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan Bourque.
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. Yes, we are back. That's the Blue Liner on Point talking to you live from Glen Burnie, Maryland. And it's another full week of Caps hockey. Hockey is back. Caps hockey is back. And with me, as always, to bring you our one-of-a-kind type of discussion about Caps hockey, live to tape from Centerville, Virginia, is the one and only maid. She is Anna Knox.
Yeah. Happy Saturday evening, Gil.
Yes, Saturday evening, yeah. Now that you mention it. And we are recording on said Saturday. It's actually Saturday, February the 1st, because of a certain event that's taking place tomorrow.
Yeah, in about 24 hours from now, my San Francisco 49ers, been a diehard fan since 1980, are playing in the Super Bowl.
Ugh. Yep, it is Super Bowl live.
Yes. Man, I'm so excited. I love both the teams. I know we don't need to talk about it, but I am proud of this team. I have nothing but respect for Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes on the Chiefs, but it's a good thing. It's been a good vibe for this, for the Niners. It's also, excuse me. I will just say this one little, tidbit, we have a woman offensive assistant coach for the Niners. Yes. And she's going to make history tomorrow. It's the first woman to coach the Super Bowl, Katie Sowers. So,
yep.
To me, I just think, it's fantastic. I love it. She's passionate. She's, good for her. So lots of cool things going on tomorrow. So we had to record. So thank you for changing the time frame, the date, because tomorrow at this time, I will be in Uber San Francisco 49ers sports nerd mode. And would not be able to give 100% to the Capitals. I will at 12:30 when they drop the puck against the Pens, because come on now.
Oh, of course.
But 6 hours later, I got to focus on my boys in San Francisco.
I can understand that. And of course, anybody who's been listening for the last couple years should know by now, you're a Bay Area girl. So yeah.
Yeah.
It's the best thing. It's Super Bowl live. And I just love that. Super Bowl live. I love that. L-I-V live. Why is it spelled L-I-V? I guess they didn't have as much of a budget to add extra letter. Can you explain that?
Are you like legit asking this question, or are you just doing it to push my buttons? Because if you're doing it to push my buttons, it's working.
I'm curious.
The number of the Super Bowl game. So it's not actually the letters, it's the Roman numerals.
LIV is a number. no. Okay. I got it. I figured it out. It's spelled LIV because Liv Tyler's going to host it. Right?
God.
I love Liv Tyler.
I'm thinking it's time to, I don't know. I may need to hang up, let you just kind of do the show on your own, because you're hitting all of the annoyance buttons tonight. That's okay. What? If the Niners win and they have the LIV on a show, I'm totally buying you one. Just cause.
Okay.
All right. Might have like lost your man card a little bit on the LIV. That's okay.
Okay. But I'm just wondering because everywhere you look, it says Super Bowl. I just figured they were cutting the budget this year and couldn't fit in the extra letter.
Mm-hmm. Are you kidding? There's no way they're going to cut the budget on the Super Bowl.
Okay. Well, yeah,
I guess they could try though.
Well, they could pay for that by playing 10 Doritos commercials or something.
Yeah, but you know, there's always like one or two. I will say recently, like I haven't had a Super Bowl that I've watched probably since the first time Tommy Brady won. And I was living in LA and those commercials, I had a party. Those commercials were hilarious back then. And every once in a while, like a good one comes out and you're like, oh, this kind of sucks. So I'm hoping tomorrow for something funny. I mean, like we need something lighthearted and excuse me, something funny. Like I get there's going to be an emotional, you know, kind of rain cloud over just the sports industry in general because of what happened last week with
and we'll get into that here in a second, but yeah, but I know what
like
you mean.
But don't you kind of like want to go back to when the Super Bowl commercials were funny? So tomorrow will you watch the game?
I don't know. I've been kind of down on the NFL for a while, you know, because of a lot of different things. I might watch.
You gotta let that shit go.
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to. It really is. I'm not going to get into all here, but I might catch a few plays here and there because you know you've got a vested interest in Brian Bigham, one of our loyal listeners. He's got something of a vested interest. Well, more specifically, his wife Heather does because she's a big Chiefs fan.
She is. And I have nothing but respect for people who come forward to tell me that they have been, you know, on the opposing team's fan since however long. You know, if you're jumping bandwagon, I'm like, I don't really care for that. But if you can like legit tell me, you know, you've been a fan for, you know, even if it's you're like, hey, it's just been 5 years or whatever, I'm okay with it. But for me, it's like, okay, 1980, moved to the Bay Area. I was 5 years old. Joe Montana, I had moved from South Bend, Indiana, across the street from Notre Dame, which is probably all the shit that you didn't know about me, and followed his college career. So then all of a sudden, like, my dad gets transferred. We're moving to the Bay Area. And all of a sudden, like, Joe Montana is, like, going to be, you know, kind of second, third string quarterback for the 49ers. And my dad played football, you know, got my brother and I into it. So we followed them and like religiously have been a fan for the highs and the lows. So I have nothing but respect for the Binghams when they, you know, especially Heather being a Chiefs fan. But I got to say, I just hope that we kick their asses tomorrow.
Okay. And with that, I will.
Let's talk hockey.
We'll end it there. That part of the discussion anyway. Pardon me. Well, actually, before we get into the hockey, I think we would be remiss not to drag the non-hockey talk out even further. We like to focus on the Caps, but I mean, it's hard to ignore certain things that happen, especially when they have an impact on everything and everybody, including, you know, what we do and you know, the Caps in general, and at least a certain part of the Caps. And I guess beat around the bush anymore, and we've already made mention of it a little bit, and that's, of course, the untimely passing of Kobe Bryant almost exactly 1 week ago today in the tragic helicopter accident in Southern California. Let me get this out of the way. As much as I've had a dislike for NFL football anyway, I have even more of a dislike for the longest time for NBA basketball. But that said, part of why I think, I mean, for the other than the obvious, is you know, in that Kobe Bryant had an impact on the world.
Yeah.
Is the fact that part of his impact is that he made the sport a lot more enjoyable, a lot more watchable, with you know, just his ability, just the way he played the game and the passion he showed. And that's, it doesn't matter. I think the hallmark of him as a human being is the fact that he showed that greatness, no matter what you do, can have an impact on anybody, every human being on the planet. And I think that in at least in part was what he was all about. But of course, his impact on the Caps was, you know, shown by no less of a man than the captain, Alex Ovechkin. And he tweeted and sent the message out. He was interviewed about it, and he said, yeah, I had the pleasure of meeting him a couple times. He was always good to me. He's always nice to me. Of course, Ovechkin's kind of a basketball fan himself. He kind of grew up with that. I think we all know by now his sister played for the Russian Olympic team for many years, and that's kind of where he gets his athletic background from. So he became a fan of the game that way. And he, you know, just the look on his face when he had to discuss what happened, you know, he said, look, it's tough. It's not something I want to talk about. And, you know, and just a few short meetings with him, and you could see the impact he had on him.
Mm-hmm. It's
a week later.
Yeah. It rocked my world last week. I have to admit.
It's a week later. We're still having trouble talking about it, but I'll try to wind it up with this, in that more than his life as an athlete, the fact that he ended up being an example as to how to raise the next generation with his three daughters. Where I'm coming from on this is the fact that I'm a girl dad too. I'm very proud of my daughter, and I think that it's going to sound strange, but I think outweighs his greatness of what he did on the court, and ultimately showed his worth even more so as a human being. And I mean, everybody in the world knows who he is. And I just want to share one last thing, how I found out about this thing. I was looking through Twitter, you know, making my usual rounds, finding out who's saying what about the Caps and the comment they made. And it just so happened that CP3, Carol Porter III of Sports on the Hill, I saw his post about what happened, and I've never known him to make a joke about things.
Right.
But I thought, okay, either somebody's, you know, playing a trick somewhere, or somebody fed him bad information. And when I was like, there's no way. There's no way. I just couldn't believe it. And then wouldn't know it, I swiped down, and there was report after report after report of the same thing. And I just couldn't believe it. And more I read about it, the more it hit me. This guy meant a lot to the world.
Oh yeah.
And there's many reasons why that is.
Well, and I have, and I know we don't want to totally get off topic.
No, it's fine.
From Cap stuff, but it is a Kobe related story. So back in 1998, I graduated college in Southern California, and I moved to Los Angeles, and I started to work at a school, which they consider a center, which basically And just to break it down, just to, you know, put it out there, K through 12, all the kids that have been kicked out of public school for fighting, or, you know, they were expelled or whatever it is. And this school was, so, you know, you had a lot of sort of tensions and things like that going on. And anyway, so we were sort of like in this warehouse kind of building by this woman who had this passion for, you know, wanting to help kids who, you know, were like the underdogs. And all of a sudden, a year later, we find out that we're going to be kind of breaking ground in a new site about a mile away. And everything that we needed from, you know, books and desks and like an actual school setting to serve the children was going to be, you know, ours. And we were so excited. And Kobe Bryant was there to cut the tape because oh, wow. In 1999, he had only been, you know, I want to say he's, you know, coming off of his rookie season, but hello, like right out of high school, he was phenomenal and still breaking records. And he was there to, you know, kind of like take that obligatory, like, you know, with the shovel, like breaking ground, but then to cut the tape and you want to say like, okay, and then what? Like, is that it? Like, was this just like a publicist kind of telling him what to do? But I will tell you, from the years that I remained at that school until I moved here, even with all of his hype of becoming the Kobe Bryant, you know, and Black Mamba and all of that kind of stuff, he never forgot our school. So, you know, he may not have attended things as often, like, you know, award ceremonies and whatnot. But he certainly, you know, donated to give these kids an opportunity who were in coming from East LA or coming from very gang related areas in Los Angeles. And so at the time, and just, you know, kind of being the sports nerd that I am, I was like, okay, well, I'm coming from, you know, Golden State Warrior territory. Not going to be a Lakers fan ever, but to kind of come down and be like, all right, who's this kid? Like, I'm kind of liking what he's doing. And look, he's like making donations and helping us out at the center for these kids. And then he's sticking with it. So absolutely, you know, that kind of, I had that very nostalgic moment when I heard of this tragic passing. And yeah, so his influence and his determination is respected by, you know, not just athletes, but for those of us who were living in Los Angeles at the time, you know, dealing with kids who were really struggling. And here was a guy who was like, hey, whatever I can do to help out. And I will forever cherish that Kobe Bryant moment in 1999.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I was just lost in thought there because
yeah,
it's I'm sorry. It's still a shock. I mean, after
it is, I mean, 100%. Like when I heard it, and how I heard it, I was just like, what? No.
It can't.
You know, and I think even to this day, like, you know, I'm standing in line at the grocery store today being like, I don't even want it. Like, grocery shopping is like the end of me. And then I look over and there's like, you know, his picture on the cover of all these magazines and the tragedy. And it's like, fuck. fucking sucks.
You never think it's going to happen like that. But
right.
And ultimately, and like everybody's been saying, ultimately the lesson here is live life now. Enjoy the people in your life now because you just don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
But, okay. So yeah, there's that. And, you know, from one example of greatness to, another, so I'll try to segue back into the Caps hockey by relating the incident that that I saw on Twitter that Alex Ovechkin has been named the number one star for the month of January.
Well deserved,
and kind of obvious if you think about it.
Right.
And honestly, I think that's also the NHL trying to kiss his ass. and apologize and say, oh, sorry, we had to suspend you.
You know, right.
You want my take on it, at least. Yeah.
Back at it.
You realize he could have like a 5-game scoring streak right now, goal scoring streak, if they hadn't suspended him.
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah, and he had the two. He had the two games, and the two back from when he got back. So if he'd have played in the Montreal game, he probably would have scored then.
Right. And you know, like you just, and then what's so great about Alex Ovechkin is just, I mean, literally, other than the fact that like we are watching history being made. I mean. Goat, 100%, and I absolutely, as much as I hate the picture I took with him, that's just going to be just an absolute treasure forever. You know, even prior to all of this, just who he is. But how great is it that he's on vacation in Cancun, matching outfits with his son, which I'm sure is his wife's doing. No offense, not that he can't pick out his outfit, but come on now. And it's like absolutely adorable, very family oriented, you know, his wife's whole family's there. Tommy's there with, you know, Taylor. And it's just like, man, this is fantastic time. And then he comes back and he just keeps kicking ass. There's no, you know, post vacation slump or what's going to happen, or they're feeling a little rusty. There was nothing. Like he just came in, zoned in, kicked ass, and, you know, passes Messier and is like, all right, moving on. Like now I'm in the top eight. Holy shit. It's fantastic. It truly gives me like chills. And when he came out with the Kobe Bryant, you know, jersey number on and the respect there, just so much love for the great eight.
Yeah, well, look, we have to talk about it because, you know, I didn't want to be the same as everybody else, to be honest with you, but we do have to mention it because to not mention it would be, for all intents and purposes, ignorant. Yeah, jerks too.
Right.
Not that we want any part of Carolina right now, but I mean, yeah, we have to mention that because not only is it one of the bright spots of the Caps play, but I mean we are witnessing greatness in one of its truest forms right now. So we have to make mention that, we have to talk about it because I mean it's part of what makes Caps hockey enjoyable. Now it's not all about what the team is all about, but it's one of the, you know, one of the things that puts us on the map, you know,
right.
And if he's pulling the gravy train, that means he's doing his job. So that
100%. Yeah.
Couldn't be happier. Couldn't be, more excited for it. It makes the game all the more watchable. But if we focused on him entirely, we wouldn't be doing our jobs, and that's to break down the games. And there were three of them.
Yes.
First of which, as we mentioned, did not have the captain in it because of said suspension. And that was against the Montreal Canadiens in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
So let's quickly break down the scoring. Okay, so first period. All right. So, yeah, I saw this goal and I was like, oh, God, please let this not be previews of coming attractions again. Jeff Petrie gets his seventh, 155 into the first. So yep. here's what happened in the play. So Nick Jensen, I know we've been ragging on him. He was, I would say, partially at fault, but if you think about it, he was doing what he was supposed to do, and that was chin and trying to create the play offensively. Now, he did that, and left a hole on the back line, which TJ Oshie tried to fill and did to some extent. But then when he lined himself up, he looked at the replay. He lined himself up. He was a little flat-footed. He kind of let Tatar kind of, you know, maneuver around him. And then he left the back door open. Yes, that's a real sport term, folks, back door, for Petrie to go around and kind of slide in on Holtby's right side, and Holtby did his best to stretch out the pad, but Petrie managed to tuck it in under the pad really quick to make it 1-0. And of course, the Holtby haters came out in droves and said, "See, this is what happens when you get a start, but when you get him to start, but this is, I mean, I don't know that it was." I would say it's, you know, maybe, if anything, maybe 15% his fault, because he'd been maybe a tiny bit quicker on the draw, but I mean, really nothing he could have done, because he was, you know, Petrie had got behind, you know, what was serving as the D at that time. So,
right.
You know, but 2 minutes in, and, you know, I think we were all like, okay, here we go again. Ring around the rosy for the majority of the rest of the period. And then the Caps go on the power play. And speaking of stuff that makes you want to, you know, smack your forehead and smack other things.
Tommy.
Guess who comes to the rescue? The knight in Bauer pads himself, Tommy Wilson, with his 15th. I got to look up the stat. I wonder how many PPGs he's got this year.
But so damn good.
That's got to be at least a half a dozen for him.
Yeah,
I think.
I would think so too.
So, well, look that up later. So he gets his 15th, ties it up of Vrana and OG. So, kind of a mishmash. I thought Tommy was on the first power play unit, but if Vrana and OG got the assist, that sounds like two guys on the second unit. I don't know. They're trying to shake things up and see what they can do to improve that. That'll be a topic of discussion in
well,
a bit.
And mind you, that this is also without Ovechkin in the lineup. So
that's true.
So this was
that's
going
true.
To be a little bit different going into it.
And you know, you make a very good point.
Thank you.
I totally forgot about that, because that would be why Vrana was, that's right. They put Vrana on the top. So it was the top, unit.
Right.
I always thought Oshie was on the second unit, but yeah, I think he is on the top unit. You make a perfect point. So that's why, that's kind of why it was lined up like that. So, good on you. Good observation there.
Thank you. I will take it now that we're into February and I'm trying to, you know, enhance my skills and sound smart. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
You always sound smart.
Anywho, so moving on to the second.
Moving on super, to the second.
I do have to say, the second period completely dominated by the Capitals, and I love it. And I love both players that scored.
Yeah, my one note for this game was that the Caps kind of started out as if they had a severe case of rink rust, as if they had the 7 or 8 days off or whatever, however long
in
it was.
In Cancun, yeah.
It was slow moving. They were flat. You know, they weren't really into it, so... As I like to say, you want to, when it's an impact game, you want to focus on that first 10 minutes and how they come out of the gate. And they just didn't seem ready. They weren't horrible. They, you know, just seemed like half a step off, but they quickly got that back.
I agree. Okay. Cause I think we probably could have looked at it like 60 minutes of them being jet lagged from being in Cancun.
Yeah, that's what I kind of thought we were headed for, but
yeah,
they picked it up.
The first 20, though Tommy scored, but it was like the last, like, you know, 2 minutes left in the period. And then I thought that they pulled it together. And without Ovechkin, to me, this game kind of spoke volumes. So
very true. Very true. Getting into the second, 2 minutes in, Travis Boyd, who got inserted into the lineup because of, again, said suspension, nets his third. That doesn't merit him some starts. I don't know what it – he always seems to score or make some sort of offensive impact every time he plays.
I agree.
So, yeah, I really think he needs some more playing time, but that's just me. He makes it 2-1 with a wrister assisted by Eller and Leipzig. And then later on in the second, Vrana gets a wrister, making it 3-1, which would turn out to be a game winner, assisted by Oshie and Kuznetsov. And then
and it was a fantastic goal. I don't. Did you see it?
I did. I did see it.
But it was very kind of Ovechkin like. You know, it was like by the time the puck crossed, into the net, he was already sprawled out on on his knees, on his stomach, kind of thing, and then was like, whoa, I made it. It was very awesome to watch. And another one who has been consistently kicking ass and awesome. But yeah, it was just, and I think it was Locker that was just that was so Ovechkin like and I thought, god, it's so funny, when you and you're here watching the game in the Knox household, and it's just me downstairs being the uber sports nerd and shouting at everything and cheering and whatever. And I'm like, that was so Ovechkin like. And then he says it. I'm like, shut up. that was really awesome. But it was very cool. And I think that one of the things I love about Jacob Vrana is his, his facial expressions are just priceless. And so that smile when he scores and when he doesn't, he has that look of determination, and you just know damn well that he is going to do everything he can to score with whatever time is remaining. So hats off to that kid. He's just great.
Yeah. And him getting knocked down and then the look on his face when he got back up, that got a nice chuckle out of Mrs. Blue Liner.
Awesome.
When that happened. So just to describe the play, if you didn't see it, Kuznetsov goes into the corner, gets knocked down, and then right after he gets knocked down, he does kind of a one-handed scoop pass to the slot where TJ Oshie was lurking, and so he kind of taps it to his right, where Vrana was rushing in, and he gets knocked down just as he puts it on net. Mm-hmm. And that's when, he goes flying through the air and then gets up and smiles as soon as he discovered it went in. So, play of the week, at least in my estimation. Yes, I know Ovechkin would go on to have a bunch of different goals, but I think that made the top of my highlight reel, to be honest. Especially when you consider the next game. But before we move on, Canadians made it interesting. Dale Weiss gets his first of the year, but Backstrom puts it out of reach with the saucer empty netter. Vrana, the first star, Kuznetsov second. Weiss gets third star. Okay, so the vital stats in this game, 40 shots on goal for the good guys, 33 for the Canadiens. So that means Braden Holtby saved 31 out of 33, especially a lot that it didn't look like he was going to get to. So
he looked great.
He looked very good. Something of a statement game for him. You didn't know how he was going to react, all the controversy and the layoff. Very, very, very good game for him. I thought he deserved a mention among the three stars, but whatever. Face-off percentage, another bad night at the dot, 55-45. What are you going to do? Power play, 1-for-3. Penalty kill continues. The Shane shut down all three chances by the Habs. Not too many penalties, speaking of which, 6 minutes each. Hitting game, Caps come up with their usual 25 plus 28 to be exact. And there you go. So they got into it when they had to. They were physical. And the offense came through, which is hallmark of the game. So perfectly played game all around. So this is what we've come to expect, a solid effort. And then they went back home and played the Predators. And we're going to make too much of this game other than, okay, so my main note for this one was it was sloppy and ridiculously hard to watch. Every time you looked up or turned around, yes, there was a goal scored by us, but also by the other team. And I'm not even going to comment on the scoring summary because a lot of these goals were just stupid looking and just, I don't know, they were gift goals by the other team's incompetence. And I don't know, it was really, really hard to watch. It was just really hard to watch the game. And if I can make a commentary here, the fact that it was on NBC again, and look, I like Mike Tirico. I think he is an admirable torch picker upper, if there is such a term for Bob Costas. He's this generation's Bob Costas, and you know, as far as Mr. Everything, kind of, you know, explaining things. And but look, he ought not be doing hockey commentary. I'm sorry, he ought not be doing play by play. I think he's more effective as an everyman, maybe an in-studio host, but he just, there's no passion in his voice as far as the hockey play-by-play that's necessary. You know, and I've ragged on him for a while, but, you know, I'd rather have Doc Emmerich. You can tell he's into it. And certainly, we've got two greats with us, Joe B and Locker, you know, and 5 minutes in, you know, Mrs. Blue Liner was like, I don't like this guy. I can't listen to him. So just wanted to make that comment as well. But yeah, just look, I don't want to make too much of this game because, like I said, it was really hard to watch. They fell behind. The captain took over. And all you got to do is look at the fact that a lot of the goals were unassisted. And that's because they were as a of bad plays by the opposition, not through hard work. Now, Tommy got his 16th, which was the go-ahead goal at the time, and another power play goal. But then they gave up a shorthanded goal. That's going to be a theme. And that tied it up. And then 12 minutes later, yeah. Okay, so the shorthanded goal was the dagger because that was the one where Holtby, I believe, had his miscue and went behind the net and threw it up the middle of the ice, and Johansson recovered it. And yeah, so that, yeah, okay. So, yep, that I'm just double confirming, but yeah, that's exactly what happened. And
frustrating.
Yeah, and that I think that right there was the touchstone of this week's, you know, firestorm of okay, it's time to sit his behind down and let the said behind taste some wood for a while,
right,
in the form of the bench. and then of course you know, the Preds you know, later on in the period get the go-ahead goal, and that was pretty much it.
And I kind of hated this game, to be honest.
Kinda.
I know. It's like I'm trying not to be one of those fans, but there is like, okay, so there are certain teams, you know, that I'm like, I hate playing against Carolina. And of course, like tomorrow would be like, I hate playing against the Pens. But what the hell is it about the Nashville Predators? And I will say, when I went into this last week of hockey, and Robbie Gross and Carol Port and I on Sports on the Hill, we had talked about predictions, and I said we would go 3-1 because I felt that there was going to be a dip in that Predators game. And if I had to coach, you know, and decide who was going to play, I would have 100% put Holtby in with Montreal. That I had no issues with. But I wanted to see Samsonov if he was going to go up against Pecorini, which he didn't wind up playing anyways. But either way, going up against the Preds, I wanted to see Samsonov do that. you know, I wanted to see Holpe play against centers, and I wanted to put Sammy in with the Pens, because it's time, you know, it's time to kind of cross over. Like, we were giving him certain teams to play, and it's like, no, like, he's earned it. Like, you know, this is okay. And I can understand Todd Reirden being like, no, we're going to ride the hot hand. Hope you look good after break, whatever. It just wasn't in the cards for Holpe against Predators, and that just, you know, that sucked. So whatever, it is what it is. And I understand Samsonov's going to be in tomorrow against, I'm assuming, Murray. I don't know. I haven't looked.
Tristan Jarry is the backup, and he's been doing playing fairly well lately. I don't know if he's stolen the number one job by now, but he's on a run. He's on a pretty good run right now.
And, yeah.
I'm not going to say he's carrying the team, but he's been a factor in the Penguins, you know, now being in second place. Ha ha. I'm not joking about that. They are in second place. If anybody's failed to notice, especially those of you out there who might have left them for dead, no, this team is not dead. They are challenging. And some would say, well, let them have the division lead and more. But yeah, that never, ever count this team out. Never take them lightly. But yeah, that's where they are right now. And that's reality, folks. But getting back to this game, it was just a bad game overall.
Yeah.
Even with the captain getting his goal and Ponick having a 2-goal game.
Right.
And I don't know. It's, if they had won this game, this would not have been an effort that they would have been proud of. It would have been more like them stealing the game. And I think the most telling set of numbers is the fact that if you look at the shots on goal per period, 15-7 Caps first period, 14-7 Caps second period, 10-4 Predators third period. What the hell happened?
Wow. Yeah.
It's like they quit playing.
Yeah.
No, it's not like they quit playing. They did quit playing.
They did. Yeah. It was not 60 minutes of hockey. That's for damn sure. And again, when they're playing at home, it's like, that shouldn't be a reason why we're like, oh, like, and I absolutely hate the fact that I'm nervous about tomorrow's game because one, it's at home, and two, it's at 12:30 in the afternoon, which seems to be kind of these, like, more so the afternoon game than playing at home, but like these two strikes going into it. But I think, I understand why it's an afternoon game, but I just feel like when we have afternoon games, those early games just never seem to really work in our favor. And then you have it, you know, Super Bowl Sunday, and you want to be like, hell, shit, you're home. You know, like, let's rock this. Let's do it. You know, it's going to be all good. And a first time playing Pittsburgh this season, it's a big deal. So I didn't have them. Like, when I gave my little Sports on the Hill prediction, and Carol and I were kind of saying on the same page, it was to be 3-1 this of the four games. I knew the Predators were to give us, like, whatever it is about that freaking team. But I don't know. I'm kind of, you know, we'll see how tomorrow
if
is.
I can. Well, okay. So one thing about that, I want to say, Ron Deal in the, Bernie's brother, if that name sounds familiar, in the True Caps fans, room mentioned this, and he's a believer in the fact that, well, it's a long season. We can't take any loss too hard because it's a long season. I kind of disagree with that because, well, just look at their record over the last 10 games. It's more like they're more like playing like a 500 team now. But he does make a solid point in that the Caps kind of play down to the level of whoever their opponent is. And believe it or not, Nashville is a last place team right now, and they've been
right.
Playing
but I don't.
Like that.
But why would you ever think that that's like an okay approach?
No, it's not. He's not saying it's okay approach. He's saying that's like, just how it is.
I see what you're saying. That's what they do that. Okay, I see. Sorry, Ron.
That's just right.
Okay,
but
he has the point then. It's, yeah. You cannot go into any game assuming any outcome.
No, you can't.
Absolutely not. Even last night, I mean, people are still like, oh, it's Ottawa Senators. You know, they're a young team or this and that. It was a little bit close last night. Like, let's be honest. Like, we certainly did not shut them out. And what was it? 4-3. Come on.
Yeah,
so it's I've always said, like, you cannot underestimate any of the teams. And unfortunately, yeah, maybe with the Preds, that's what happened. But God, they're like a mind fuck team for the Capitals. And it is really annoying. Them, Carolina, hopefully not tomorrow with Pittsburgh, but we'll see, because it's the first time meeting them this season.
Right. So speaking of last night's game.
Yes.
Okay. So now the Senators are a next to last place team.
Right.
And so obviously their record hasn't been all that great. But the one thing I have noticed about them with the new coaching staff in place, and you know, stock with guys that, you know, just are trying to get into the show and prove what they can do, they compete pretty hard. They're in every game.
I agree.
They don't have the talent to win out.
Yeah.
But they are in every game by sheer will and effort.
Yeah.
So as we saw last night, you can't count them out either. Even though the record says, well, they're going to lose more games than they win. Now, I have to admit, when I saw the first period, and let's see, 4-10, TJ Oshie with his 19th, 11-22, Kuznetsov with his 17th. You see a 2-0 lead for the Caps after one, you think, okay, well, this is going to be another cakewalk, because that's usually how it ends up against the Senators. No, sir. And then you see Captain getting his 36th,
mm-hmm.
and it's 3-1. So you think they're going to walk away with it. No. Then Shabbat with his 5th. He's probably one of the few drawing cards on that team.
Okay, but is it Shabbat, like, phonetically spelled, or is it like the French would say Chabot?
I've heard it both.
Because all I heard last night was Shabbat, and part of me was cringing, thinking, I'm pretty sure that you don't pronounce the T.
The Canadian blood in you got kind of boiled up.
It did. That. Yeah, 100%. I was just Chabot.
There was, and now, pardon me if some of you out there who don't like talking about history fall asleep on this, but there was an old-time goalie who played in the 20s and 30s named Lorne Chabot, spelled his name the same way, but mm-hmm. pronounced Chabot. So, yes, there is the argument for that, but not to get dragged into that. But I know
yeah,
exactly
no,
what
I
would, you're
I just
about.
Had to ask.
I get that. Okay, so again, one of the goals that the Cap gave up was on the power play, which means it was what? A shorthanded
goal.
Again. I'm as sick of it as the rest of you are, and I don't know. They need to fix it, and look. I Anna and I are often at odds, but Anna, I think you will agree. The coaching staff needs to, you know, stop jerking around here, pull the pants up, and admit, okay, we have to fix this.
I agree. I will honestly say with you on this February 1st episode, I am on board with that, because this has been one of those shaking my head, are you freaking kidding me? And if you're any part of any Caps Facebook group or on Twitter, you're going to see the same, like, once again, you know, shorthand goal.
Funny you should mention that. I wish I had the tweet in front of me, but yeah, first thing I did when I heard that goal was scored, I was listening to it on the radio at the time.
Right.
First thing I did was jump on Twitter, and I looked up Fee McKinnon, and I don't have the exact tweet, but I think she said something like, oh, look, another Caps power play, another shorthanded goal, man bites dog, yep. Something like that.
Right, and she's spot on. And it's infuriating, and I get that, and I do. I support the fact that the coaches, but again, it's not like the coaches are like waiting for someone to say to them, oh, hey, here are the statistics, and here's what's going on, and here's what we need to work on. They're there at the games watching this. So what the fuck? Like, come on.
What,
like, how can you not? Yeah, how can you not just tighten this up? And again, I will always go back to go to practice. You shut down that fan base that comes and it's the people in the fans, and you just have only the Caps on ice, only the players and the coaches that need to be on ice at that time. That is their focus, and you're going to scrimmage. You're going to go back to the basics. You're going to go back to the drills and say, this is what happens. This is what we need to do. And not only is that going to bring your awareness, you know, to the players to be like, oh yeah, we do need to kind of tighten this up a little bit because we're slacking off on this or whatever it is. But it's also going to bring the team together as a whole. And that's sometimes when you have one or two or three players that are, you know, whether it's in the media or fan base or whatever it is that are kind of on that, people are going to start talking shit about it. You're still talking about a teammate, and it still brings negativity into the locker room. So as a whole, you come back together and you start doing things as a team to bring that cohesiveness back together. And when it comes back to basics, yeah, if you have to do the drills again, fine. If you have to tighten things up, fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Nobody is going to be there to say, I can't believe that this coach is taking the time to make them, you know, a better unit. No. Sometimes you just need to bring awareness to something that is, you know, elephant in the room and say, hey, listen, you know, this hasn't worked for us so far. Let's go back to what does work. You know, let's get that chemistry going. Let's get that cohesiveness going. Let's get that relaxed play back that we had from the Capitals from before, where it's like when they're out there having a good time and they don't have a pressure on them, Holpe included, Samsonov included, it's like, wow, the team vibe is so much different. And you appreciate the fact that every time that these guys score, regardless of who it is, the same amount of passion is out there on the ice, and the respect and the love for the person who scored, the person who assisted, and just the teammate in general. And that's what I love about this team. So let's bring it back to that. And, well, you know,
I think that's part of it, but you know, it hasn't been fun to watch, and it hasn't been fun, period, when they go on the power play, and they know, I would hope they know that, but I mean, it's also on top of that, it's also little details like, you know, why is the D, why so much D to D passing? Why are they doing the slingshot? Why is Ovechkin out there the entire 2 minutes plus? I mean, one of the power plays, he was out there for almost damn near 3 minutes. You know, I know he went on to score three goals, but that's been Bernie's pet peeve for the longest time now.
Yeah.
And I didn't think much of it. I admit at first, but I think he's got a point now.
Oh, absolutely. So, no, it is frustrating.
Little things like that. That
now that you're halfway into the season, you definitely have to step back as whatever position you are coach-wise and say, all right, maybe I need to kind of think about what I'm doing and what I'm not doing. So let's hope. I mean, I know I have a coach opinions and favoritism that's possibly different than 99% of the fans that or people who are listening. But that's, you know, that's okay. But, it still comes down to, you know, having the best interest of the Capitals as a team. So if we need to come back to the basics with let's work together, get the chemistry going again, that's on the coaches, but it's on the players too.
True. True enough. okay. So let's briefly go through the rest of the scoring. Shabbat Chabot. Makes it 3-2. Hagelin would get the what turned out to be the game winner shorthanded. Imagine that, a shorthanded goal going the other way.
Right.
And, sorry, Fletch, but, here's where Hagelin's proving his worth. He's not only preventing, he is scoring when critical, and it's a game winner, no less. Okay, and then, so this, like I said, though, the Sixers are the team that won't die. They will compete. And so the perennial Mr. Bean lookalike contest winner, Artem Anisimov, gets his ninth on their power play. To make it a little interesting, more interesting than it should have been. And then Ovechkin gets 37th to take sole possession of eighth place on the all-time scoring list, passing Mark Messier, of course.
Now, did you have a chance to read Mark Messier's message?
I know he put out a message. Yeah, I think I saw it like a it's a pretty nice message. Something about I can't quite remember the exact words, but something like he's proving his greatness every day by passing some of the greats, and something like that.
Well, it was just I won't read the whole thing, but I did read it, and again, respect for another hockey great to another hockey great. And it was very well written. And I think it summed up Alex Ovechkin as not just a hockey player, but also as a person. So I think that was good on Mark Messier for that, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked hearing that. And it's, and Ovechkin does have respect for the game, despite what some would think. I think he liked hearing that. All right. No sense breaking down the stats. I will point out something here, though. Caps had 30 hits in this game. So I want to key on that, because I know I'm sounding like a broken record, but they're into the game when the hit counter reaches 20 or more, and when it does, it usually means they're imposing their will, and also that they, 9 times out of 10, they end up winning because of that. So that's something they obviously need to keep up. Now, as has been pointed out as well, that kind of thing you can't keep up completely over an 82 game season. So you're going to see breakdowns. You're going to see, bodies worn down. So, yeah, when you play that kind of game, that's going to happen. So it's understandable. But so long as they show the effort, that's where I'm coming from. Sometimes they just don't, and that's where I have to say, well, look, it's not acceptable.
Right.
But I'm not going to get too overly down about it. All right. So that's the week that was, at least so far, in Caps hockey, on the ice. So now, look, this next part. Okay. So we're nothing if we're not, Caps fans, and the heart of what we do is keep the discussion going. Now, there's something though that's kind of hijacked things, and that's the so-called, I'm going to say so-called goalie controversy, because of the preference seemingly for Samsonov to take the quote-unquote number one spot. Okay, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but yes, it's been announced that Samsonov will get the start tomorrow afternoon against the Penguins, and that will mark his first true test against a quality opponent, especially since, as I mentioned before, they're surging in the standings and they're challenging for first place in the division. And they've been playing a hell of a lot better than most teams. And they got Sidney Crosby back. No small thing, believe me.
Yeah.
But my point is, I think we as Caps fans are allowing ourselves to be suckered in by this so-called media-manufactured goalie controversy. I think it's something we ought not be focused on. And I know my plea is going to fall on deaf ears because you know, people seem to love watching train wrecks. And there's an ever-growing population that, you know, just wants to rag on Brayden Holtby and completely forget about what he's done for the team because they're focused on the now. Look, I get that. I'm not going to be a Holtby apologist, but I'm not going to just toss him aside either. I think the best way to handle it is just keep it as a 1-1A situation. Years and years ago, the Montreal Canadiens did a home goalie, road goalie type of thing. They had Patrick Roy as the home goalie and Brian Hayward as the road goalie. Maybe they'll alternate like that. I don't know. I'm not an NHL coach. I don't know how to best handle it. But it's our job as fans, I would say, to support the team regardless. That's our job. And I don't know. I don't think it does the team any good to bog down in this discussion about, well, you know what? We might as well ship Holtby off to wherever at the trade deadline or sooner, if possible. So, you know, I'm sorry. And I'm not one to rag on any player in particular. I'd approve it right now by saying something nice about Nick Jensen, who I've had a lot to say about recently. Nick Jensen in that cow dung pile. Pile of a game against Nashville. Nick Jensen was probably the best player on the Caps.
Yeah.
In that
I
game.
Agree.
I'm not ashamed to say that. He shut down Philip Forsberg for the most part by himself. And that's no small feat. So I'll give credit where credit is due. And maybe, yes, it is. Well, no, not maybe. It is Samsonov's time, and he ought to be getting some time against quality opponents. But is it the end of Holtby's time?
No.
It's not for us to decide that, at least not at this moment. You know, let management figure out what's right for the team. But, you know, guys, don't get yourself suckered into this discussion. It's going to go nowhere, and nothing's going to be decided until it's the right time. Now, so there's no point in really discussing it. Now, that said, I want to put this question to you, Anna, because you are a coach. When you're not teaching, when you're not sending your charges to the principal's office, how would you handle, so you coach a swim team, mm-hmm. how would you handle someone on the team who you know can do better and is underperforming?
I feel like I'm on the Miss America pageant questionnaire portion of the show. And I will gladly say
if you say peace, you're disqualified.
Damn it. God, it's like you knew what I was going to say. Am I that predictable? No, you know what? I have to say that, like, is it really a huge difference between adult athletes and, you know, children athletes? No, because honestly, what it comes down to, other than, you know, respect for each other, is the fact that I think the biggest thing is giving the athlete a voice. And when I say that, there are times that you have, whether it's on the swim deck, whether it's on the ice, on the field, whatever it is, somebody who just seems off. You know, they're not with it, their head's somewhere else. And the best thing that you can do at that moment is just ask them, you know, hey, like, hey, it's kind of just seem a little bit off, or you seem a little preoccupied. It's the best thing a coach, a teacher, a parent can do is just simply ask the individual what's going on and give them a voice, give them an outlet to say, hey, it's okay to say, I didn't sleep well last night. My parents are fighting. Someone's going through a divorce. Someone's worried about it. Like, you just don't know what the person's going through. And even though Braden Holtby is, you know, Stanley Cup, goalie, fantastic player with a bazillion fans, you have those doubters, of course, whether or not it gets in his head. But it's not to say that he's not human. We don't know what he's going through off the ice. And as simple as a coach to just say, hey, listen, you know what? I'm pull you aside one-on-one. Tell me what's going on with you. Tell me what's going on in your head. Is it, you know, is it Sammy? Is it Seattle? Is it maybe one of your children is having issues? You know, whatever it is. So that was my biggest thing to say, is that how important it is to talk to the athlete and to give them a voice. Secondly, I never responded very well to the kicking and screaming tantrum coach antics. I mean, I got it when the coaches were pissed at me and throwing kickboards and being like, get out of my pool. But what made more of a, I don't know, a moment, a memory for me.
Impact?
Was that an impact? Yes, there you go. It's when there was a praise and not a total criticism. It's like, you know, who wants to walk into a situation where you're always like, don't do this, don't do this. Why were you doing this? You know, it's like, it's all the negatives. At some point, you want to hear the positive. And sometimes then you also need those like team building exercises to kind of bring the team back together. Like for myself, it was, you know, I was on the cusp of being kicked off a top relay, and I was like, oh my God, like, wait, you're going to replace me with this girl? And it was because, you know, my attitude kind of sucked. I was definitely preoccupied. I was definitely didn't have my head in the game. My coach was like, hey, this is what's going to happen if we don't see some changes. But it didn't have to be yelling, screaming fight. So that's kind of where I'm at. And I think what worked last year with Holtby, or the year before, I should say 2 years ago, so with Grubauer, was, you know, you put him on the bench, but it's not a scolding situation. He doesn't have to be, you know, put there or like a dunce cap on kind of thing. It's like, hey, listen, I think you need to kind of get through what's going on, you know, personally. And in the meantime, we're going to put this player in. And I admire Samsonov for the fact that he's been asked so many times in the media his thoughts on how Holtby's playing and how people perceive him, and the fact that he, you know, God, if he gets traded to Seattle or whatever the media wants to start asking, I respect Samsonov for the fact that he's like, he's uncomfortable and it kind of, you know, it hurts him and he's bummed to talk about it. The kid's human. I mean, my God, is, you know, he's probably idolized Holtby and is like, holy shit, I'm going to be the backup to this guy. And then all of a sudden you're kind of playing more games. You want to take over that spot, but you don't because you like the guy, you know, so he's sort of torn, but I respect the fact that he acknowledges it. And I think that Holtby's going to encourage it. So that's kind of where I'm at, you know, give those athletes give them a voice, give them an opportunity to say, hey, listen, this is what's going on. This is where my head's at. Rather than, you know, scolding them and like, I've always hated the couch coaches on social media who just are like, bench him, trade him, blah, shut up. You know, like if you walked into your job and, you know, you were having an off day because, I don't know, your infant child was up with croup or something all night, and you're like, God, I'm fucking tired. And you walk in and your boss is like, that's it, you're fired. Okay, well, it's not fair because they didn't know what was going on. So let's give, you know, our players on the Caps rosters, regardless of their position, a free pass on the fact that they're human. And they may have some other shit going on, but don't be a jerk about it on social media you know, behind the screen on the, you know, saying what you want to say, because you're never going to say it to their face. So I don't know.
And just to add all good points, as always, but just to add on top of that, the reason I'm making this plea is because not only does it not build the team, you know, does it show that we're not supporting the team? It also shows
fans.
Right. It splits the fans in two. And look, I'm talking to as much to the pro Holtby camp as I am to the anti Holtby camp.
Yep.
Look, you know, and Braden Holtby would be the first one to tell you the goal is to do whatever is necessary to put the team in the best position to succeed. Okay. Yep. And look, you know, that I'm not saying that nobody should have an opinion either way. I'm not saying that at all. But if you can offer nothing more than Holtby sucks and we should trade him, no, I'm sorry. You got no game. You got exactly. No class. You got no business being a Caps fan. You got no business being a hockey fan. You know, try watching the games. Okay, try not focusing on, you know, just one aspect of things. Try watching the whole game, the whole team, and
the whole season.
The whole season.
Right.
And yes, okay, yes, the D plays differently no matter who's in goal, and Samsonov seems to be, you know, the one who reacts the better, at least right now. But that doesn't mean that Braden Holtby still does not have a place on this team. And look, I'm completely neutral on this. I'm as Switzerland as Jonas Siegenthaler is. Okay. Oh. I
insert
want to ultimately see the team succeed.
Yes.
So I honestly don't care who is in goal, as long as that person is better suited. Now we'll see. We're going to get a clearer picture, I think, as the next few weeks go by, because the trade deadline is in a few weeks, towards the end of this month that we're in now. I don't think they're going to make any sort of drastic move then. I really don't.
I agree.
At least as far as the goalies go. So, you know, sorry to disappoint you. Those who want him gone ain't going to happen. But yeah, you're going to see more of Samsonov getting truer tests against teams like Pittsburgh, against teams that are up and coming and challenging for, key playoff spots and things like that. So, you know, we'll see what the kid's made of. And if I, just like I posed to, Ron and Robbie a few weeks ago, we'll see if he's got what it takes. But as I like to say, the playoffs are a totally different animal. Yep. And my pet peeve with this team, alongside our consigliere, Chris Levesque, is that this team ain't playing like they deserve to be in the playoffs or are in the playoffs.
Right.
So they need to pull themselves up by their own jock straps and get it going here. But again,
I think I'd like to be part of that jock strap pulling up exercise. Can I say that? Can I assist them? It could be hard for them to do. I'm just volunteering. You know, I got to take one for the team and one for the fans, and I'm willing to do it. Okay.
Oh, okay.
You missed me this last week. Just admit it. Come on.
Are you talking to our listener or are you talking to me?
To you. I know our listeners missed us.
Oh, of course they did.
So much so.
Yeah. All right. So I don't want to get suckered into this media manufactured goalie, so-called goalie controversy, because the coaching staff, if they're smart enough, will recognize who puts the team in the best position to win and play that person. And that's Agreed. All, that's all that we need to know. That's all we need to focus on. And this discussion on, you know, how Holtby's playing, I'm sorry, how is that productive? How does that make things better? You know, please tell me. Okay. So he rides the pine for the next 2 weeks. Okay. You happy? You got what you wanted?
Right.
Okay. You think the team's better? You know, guess what? We're about to find out. Because like I said, Samsonov will probably be getting the bulk of the starts here and against quality teams. So, and I'm not going to say I told you so. If that goes sour, but
no, tomorrow's going to be huge. Perfect.
Yeah, huge. Absolutely.
And you know what? I said it before. At some point, he'll be knocked off his pedestal, and how he responds after that is then when people can say, "Holy shit! Okay, listen. You know, he didn't do well in one game, and now he's lost the next three games." Or is he going to lose a game against a team like Pittsburgh and be like, holy shit, and then come back and have a shutout? Like, you just don't know. So it's like, give him a chance, but give Holtby a chance too. Like, don't shun him because he's sitting, you know, with the team watching what's going on. It's like, he's not banned. It's like, give me a break.
Yeah, we've made the point before. He still has merit as basically Samsonov's mentor, because even with the goalie coaches getting involved, basically Samsonov is learning all he needs to know about watching and being with Holtby. So even if he doesn't play the majority of the games, he's learning that way. So look, there is that, and you know, if you don't want to recognize that worth, then so be it. But you know, keep on drinking the haterade. I'm not going to beat this to death anymore.
No, nope.
I'm just saying, do what you can to not get suckered into the discussion. But if you've got that much, venom you want to spew, go right ahead. I'm not going to stop you. But don't count yourself among true Caps fans if that's all you want to participate in.
So. Right. We're going to run.
Okay. Up. All right. So we've mentioned already many times, next game, speaking of previews of coming attractions, next game, of course, is tomorrow. We're recording this Saturday, February 1st, 12:30 tomorrow. It's another Nobody Beats the Capitals Network. 12:30 puck drop at Capital One. Then they play a Tuesday night game. Continuing the home against the Kings, 7 o'clock puck drop. Then it's a 3-day rest, and Saturday they host the Flyers. Mm-hmm. Hello, Kerry, if you're listening. Also, 7 o'clock puck drop, and then next Monday finishes the home stand against the New York Islanders. That big smelly island. or New York Dicks, as Grant Green likes to call them.
I like that too.
I like that too.
Wait, okay, so I'm sorry. My
I like that name. I'm not gonna go down that
road. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, now I won't say anything. I won't say. Okay. I know we've gone totally above and beyond.
We've gone way, 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 way long. But hopefully, you're getting your entertainment dollar out of us this week. Sorry for this extended edition, but obviously, we've got two weeks worth of coverage. Just one last thing I want to mention real quick. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, but I would like to say that in my ongoing to highlight and advertise the women's game, I just want to say that was the lone highlight of All-Star Weekend, or the festivities, as was called, was the 3-on-3 USA versus Canada game. I absolutely enjoyed that. And you people, you know who you are, that did not like it. You want to say, well, I'm not going to pay for Well, I just people that are like, well, they're not, it's not as fast. There's no hitting.
Please.
That bullshit. I like to see them
go up against the female hockey players in a game and be like, oh, right. Sorry. Eat my words. Well, whatever. But I agree. I
don't have time. I don't have time for those people that you don't like
suck.
It. Okay, fine. Move on and watch, you know, I don't know. Watch really bad NFL football and the refs, they're butchering calls for 10 minutes or right. every other play.
Something.
Well, something that wastes more time. You know, give me more of that. Give me, right. You know, and yes, I know they were select players from, you know, that were the elite, but let's give them their
due. What did they think the All-Stars were?
Yeah,
the All-Stars
exactly.
game. It was the elite of the NHL. Only certain players were picked. So what? So we had 3-on-3 Canada versus the U.S. And it was awesome. And it should be acknowledged and it should be continued. And I think it was a highlight for me. And I watched all of the All-Stars. And I will say that was it was a favorite of mine for sure. So fuck people who were against it.
Could not agree more. And yeah, sorry. You again, don't like
you
it.
Suck.
Don't watch it. Don't watch right. it. We could care less.
Don't watch there it and don't us... comment on it if you don't watch it. I don't care.
Right, change the channel. Yeah, we right. don't care. You don't like it, fine. Don't watch. Goodbye.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
So
rant over.
Ending this on a happy note, can I give my two birthday shout outs?
Oh, yes, of course. Thanks for reminding
sweet.
Me.
Sweet. Yes. So I know beforehand we had talked about Lisa Desabray, and I think she had a fantastic birthday and she was going to the blood drive today. And, you know, I just, I love her to death. And I just think I love her input with everything. But this last week we had kicked off the week with trucker Eric Hayes. He had a birthday and we just can't love this guy more. I mean, come on. He listens to every show. He's doing this truck drive. He does it from Maryland to Vermont every week. I don't know how, because I'm like, after an hour or so in the car, I'm like, I'm done. He listens to the Power Play Point podcast and, of course, many other things because it's so long. But we appreciate his dedication to the Caps, to our podcast, to Maryland sports, just overall, just an awesome individual. So happy birthday. And then of course today, Kevin Simmons' birthday, who is, and I had the honor of meeting him right after the, and in 2018 when the Caps won the Stanley Cup and my husband made this like really cool Stanley Cup decal kind of thing. And he wanted to put up in his office and I had a chance to deliver it to Chris Levesque for him and Steven, and then drive out to Kevin's house. He's fantastic. And like, what a cool guy. I love when you meet people and you're like, I feel like I've known you forever. So happy, happy birthday, Kevin. And thank you for being a awesome listener and a Caps fan and just a cool person overall.
Yeah, and allow me to say this. So on top of for Eric, on top of happy birthday, let's add a get well soon because he's been under the weather for a little while too. So
true.
Please, 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 rest up, get well soon, and we absolutely love that you've been supporting the show. You've been out there on Twitter talking us up, and we just absolutely love you for it. And you know, you're almost first on the scene, almost always first on the scene with the comments on Podbean. And yeah, just keep that up. We love it that you're out there listening. And I know what it's like for a long drive. And I couldn't be more thrilled that you make us part of your long commute every day. So thank you. Thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. But also, please get well soon. And some words about Kevin Simmons. What can I say about this guy? Awesome dude. Never had the pleasure to meet him in person. I hope to one day. But this guy, I have to say, he's even before the young lady that's with me every week that gets to talk at you with me came on board.
That young lady.
Kevin, Kevin Simmons has been a fan of the show since pretty much day one. And that is the best kind of listener. That's the best kind of supporter you can have, because he's been with me since all of it. He was one of the first followers of the podcast through Podbean. And so on his day of days, just want to wish him a happy birthday. And again, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you for continuing to support the show, for your comment on Facebook, for especially being a fan of the team, and just being an all around great guy and repping the podcast and the team. Love you to death, Kevin. Thank you so much. You'll be my man forever because of all that.
Sweet.
Oh, okay. So we've come to the end of another episode. I know it's a long one. You guys, again, we had 2 weeks to cover, sort of. A lot happened. A lot we wanted to discuss with you, the Caps fans. Sorry if this went on way too long for a lot of you guys, but thank you so much for hanging in there. Thanks so much for keeping with us. So much to get through. One last quick thing. One last quick plug. Anna, of course, you will be on Sports on the Hill podcast, which is recording, as they always do, live on the True Radio Network and through Facebook Live Monday evening at 7 p.m. First feature is Caps Talk. And that will be going on while they are playing their New York Knicks. live, of course. So be sure to catch that. Hosted by Robbie Gross and Carol Porter III. They cover all things DC sports. So fans of the Wizards, Redskins, DC United, et cetera, et cetera. Mystics, of course, Nationals. Get your fix there. Give them a shout. Give them a catch. That all being said, we've come to the end of this episode, finally enough. So, for Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point, signing off for this episode and reminding you, ladies, if he can't appreciate your fruit jokes, you need to let that man go. Hallelujah, no. And let's go, Caps.
Go, Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.